Blog Talk Radio.
The Persuasions. Do you remember that?
That is correct.
Okay, that's what we're going to play. Okay, greetings. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. We're here tonight to learn lessons about the first female buffalo soldier. And before we introduce our guests, we want to just have the Persuasions play a beautiful melody about the Buffalo Soldiers, and then we'll start our show. I don't own the rights to this music, and they've given me permission to play, so let's hear from the Persuasions, Buffalo Soldiers.
Buffalo Soldier.
Deputy Commander Michelle Marable, London Marable. So welcome, Michelle. Michelle is here to share her journey with the history, the museum, all the things that she's doing in Arizona to bring forth the knowledge and history about Cathay Williams or William Cathay. She can tell us more about that, which name is right. And I'm so glad to have her here because what she's doing is important, and I'd love to hear about this part of our American story that we don't know about. A lot of people do not know about this story. This story is so fascinating to me. I was reading a lot and looking at a lot of videos about Cathay Williams, and I just don't know how this woman pulled this off. So, Deputy Commander Michelle, welcome, and why don't you introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and all, how you got into this journey that you're in right now.
Greetings, thank you for having me. My name is Deputy Commander Michelle London Marable. I am the founder of the official Arizona Centennial Legacy Buffalo Soldiers of the Arizona Territory, and ladies and gentlemen of the Regiment of Mesa, Arizona. My husband, Commander Fred Marable, and I started this group on December 3rd, 2007. We have participated over 415 events. We are Arizona Centennial Buffalo Soldier, and we are also recognized in the West True West magazine as your historical Buffalo Soldier here in Arizona. We are also featured in Arizona 100 Year Centennial book. The reason why my husband and I decided to do this, there was no history here in Arizona. I'm from Los Angeles, California. So when I moved here, there wasn't anything. So in 2007, my husband and I joined this other organization as a Buffalo Soldier. And I asked my husband, what is the guys wearing? I never seen that before. He said, those are Buffalo Soldiers. I say, Buffalo Soldier? What do you mean Buffalo Soldiers? So we decided to join the group. The sergeant major there asked me, have I heard of Kathy Williams? I'm like, no. He was saying Kathy was the first black female Buffalo Soldier. And then he asked me, can you portray her? And I said, yes. And thereafter, he asked me, can you handle that? I said, I can handle you. Based on that, I knew Kathy must be something significant. So I've been portraying Kathy Williams since 2007. The story of Kathy Williams. Kathy's father was free. Her mother and her was a slave. When the Union Army came to Independent, Missouri to free the slaves, Kathy was one of many. Kathy went to St. Louis, became a cook, learned the military lifestyle. When they released Kathy from her duties, Kathy said, I don't want to be married or have a house full of babies or be a burden on someone. So Kathy knew that she would make more money as a soldier. So Kathy walked back in the officer quarters and told the officer her name was William Kathy. Keep in mind, back in 1866, there wasn't really examined black men. So when Kathy walked in there at 5'7", dark complected, they said, you know, boy, turn around. Let me see your teeth. Make sure you're okay. She passed. They still didn't know she was a woman. Kathy fought with 101 black men from St. Louis, Missouri, all the way to Fort Bear, New Mexico. Became sick 2 or 4 times, was in the hospital. Still didn't know she was a female. When Kathy got to Fort Bear, New Mexico, she became very ill. She was placed in the hospital because she had diabetes. They had to amputate her toes. That's when the white surgeon realized laying on their bed was your first black female Buffalo Soldier. Of course, they dismissed her because there was no such thing as a black gal or a woman fighting in that time. When they dismissed Kathy from her duties, she went to Trinidad, Colorado. That's when she decided to get married. Her husband stole her horses and abandoned her. Kathy continued fighting with the United States Army to inform them that she was a Buffalo Soldier. They were saying there was no such thing for a gal to be fighting. She informed them that she fought from St. Louis to Fort Bear, New Mexico in the Apache War. Kathy never, ever received her pension as your first black female Buffalo Soldier. I am so honored to wear the blue uniform. So for the significance of black women, the empowerment we have. So we are so honored to put Kathy Williams at the Arizona State Capitol as your first black female Buffalo Soldier. Thank you.
Wow. That story is just so amazing and somewhat unbelievable, but it really, really does show how strong a woman she was, number one. But mystery is, how could she get away with that among 100 men? It really, I think about today, the transgender movement, how women want to be men and men want to be women. And she was kind of a pioneer in that, in a way. What do you think about that part, that perspective of her wanting to be a man to make money and to do whatever she did? What do you think about that perspective when we think about today's mental thinking on that issue?
Well, I believe what Kathy did, she strapped her chest with towels or anything. So she strapped her chest down. So you take in a situation, her monthly menstrual.
Right, right.
Were taking consideration. They was fighting in the war. So a man was bleeding. They was getting shot. So if she got shot or not, they would just assume she just got shot or injured. Remember, we're talking about 1800s. So the ground was very rugged. So if she had messed up her pants, if there was a dead soldier, she just grabbed his pants and keep going. But see, there was two people there that was protecting her. It was her cousin and her best friend that was fighting with her side by side. So they kept her identity very well hidden.
Okay, so two men who were her cousin and her best male friend were there with her.
That is correct.
So they're kind of the witnesses to this.
That is correct.
Now, did these men tell this story in their own way?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
You're not aware of it.
So this is just her saying that she had two witnesses to that, but we don't know who. Do we know who the witnesses were?
Remember, one was her cousin and one was her best friend.
Okay, so do we know their names or any? Is it written anywhere in history in the records about these two witnesses, though?
It might be more in detail in her book. So if you get Kathy Williams' book, you might be able to find more detail of that.
Okay, she actually wrote a book.
No, somebody else wrote a book on her behalf.
Okay. So
Kathy did not know how to read or write.
Okay.
But she had the intelligence to fool the United States Army.
Right. So they interviewed her. Someone interviewed her or someone...
Somebody interviewed somebody to tell her story.
Right. It's just so fascinating that she could get away with that for 2 years and just have two people protecting her. It's almost like it's hard to believe, really. The story's hard to believe.
Well, she has to be kind of hardcore. Remember, she's 5'7". She was very strong, so she could pass as a man, especially being dark-skinned. So she must not have been fully busted, you know what I'm talking about? So
yeah.
She might be able to get away with it because nowadays a lot of young women strap their chest.
Well, one of the title of this show is Lessons from the First Female Black Soldier, Buffalo Soldier. It was also interesting how they named these men buffalo after the hair, right? The hair of the buffalo, how the hair of black men mirrored or was similar to the hair of the buffalo. So that's how they got the name. Is that correct or not?
That is correct. The shine named.
Right.
When the white soldiers were getting killed, that's when the sergeant would bring it in the black soldiers. So since the Native American praised and raised buffalo, they knew the buffalo was a strong animal. So when the white man was getting killed off, the Native American was saying, who is this? The white man sent in. He's dark-skinned. He got brown eyes. He got curly hair.
Like the buffalo.
He would fight you toe to toe. So he reminded me of a wild buffalo. But as time went on, they started calling him Buffalo Soldier all the way to the Korean War.
So these buffalo dark-skinned men were fighting the Indians, right? The Native Americans. This is really even more fascinating. So we look at the aboriginals for the United States, or Turtle Island it's called, or America, actually are considered to be dark-skinned black men, as well as it's considered to be, as well as, let me turn my phone off because people calling me at the wrong time, as well as it's considered to be Native Americans of the Mongolian race mixed together with Africans and all. But there's a debate. Is what I'm saying is there's a debate as to whether black men actually came from Africa, or are they the original aboriginals. Now, here you're telling us a part of our history that these buffalo soldiers were fighting the other Native Americans, the Mongolian type Native Americans, right? And that's where the battle, the karmic energy started, with blacks fighting Native Americans and Native Americans fighting whites, and all this violence was going on. And now we have people wondering, well, why things are happening the way they are. But how many know about this history of the black man fighting the Native American?
Well, after time, a lot of blacks marry into the Native American.
That's right.
And they also protected us. So the reason why the black man was fighting, because it just came out of slavery.
Right.
So that was the way to survive.
Right.
Their intention was not to go out and kill Native American, but it was survival.
Right. They were working for the slave, or the government of America, versus working with the Native Americans, right?
That's right.
Right. So they were doing what they had to do. And here comes Cathay Williams, who says, well, I want to fight in this war, and I want to do this too. So I'm going to disguise myself as a man, and having two witnesses, a cousin and a friend, who protected her in the life. I mean, that's just such an amazing relationship that we're talking about right now, of a woman disguising herself as a man, two men with her to protect her and keep her identity unknown, and the other men don't even recognize that this is a woman. This is, like, so amazing to me. What do you think, before we go to the calls, we got a couple of people who want to chime in. Before we go to the call, what do you think the major lessons, looking at our society today, Michelle, what do you think the major lessons are, knowing this about Cathay Williams and what the bravery, the mystery and all that? What do you think the major lessons are for us today?
The major lesson today, we are very strong, strong black women. The only thing stopping us is ourselves. So if Kathy had to endure slavery and survive, she was strong.
Yeah.
Only the strong would survive. So she taken consideration as a house girl or just a cook, she would not make any money. So you could take in consideration, I need to make money. Now, how can I make money? Because women back then could not own a home. There was not the head of the household. You must have a husband. So Kathy realized, how can I make money? Is being a soldier, getting paid $12 a week compared to maybe $5 a week. So there was a big difference. So we as women back in slavery already knew we have the ambition to do what we have to do to survive. So to be a soldier, she's already the soldier of the Lord and ready to go to fight.
I think you're so right about that. You bring in the strength and the courage of a black woman back then, and the creativity. That's what I was thinking about. How we had, back in those days where they had very little money, this woman created a job as a man. She disguised herself, but her creativity, her courage, and her strength were there. And I think that's, to me, I love that lesson. That's the number one lesson we can take away from this. the creativity, the strength, and the courage that the Kathy Williams had to pull that off. Who could even think about pulling that off for 2 years? But the consequence of what she chose to create cost her, it really cost her life. I think she must have been about 44 years old from my record when she died. She was about 22, I think, when she went into the Army.
22.
And she died at 44. Why? That's a harsh reality. That's a harsh experience to be in a war with men. And it took a toll on her body. So to have the courage and creativity and strength to pull it off is one thing. But the lessons to be learned are numerous, many, many, many lessons that we can take home from this, thanks to Kathy. Let's go to the phone calls. Are you ready to take some comments or questions, Michelle?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we'd like you to give your name and where you're calling from, and if you have a comment or a question for my guest, Michelle, 520-885, your mic is open. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Your mic is open. 520-885. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Oh, this is Gloria Smith from Arizona.
Hi, Gloria.
I met Barbara Richardson. Barbara Richardson followed the career of Kathy Williams when she went to New Mexico. Kathy got involved in a rooming house, or she either lived in a rooming house or she ran one. And Barbara Richardson did a lot of history on her, and she left it at the Arizona Historical Society at 949 East 2nd Street, Tucson, Arizona, 85719.
Are you aware of that,
Barbara
Michelle?
Richardson? No, I'm not.
Okay, go ahead.
Barbara was a part of the African American History of Arizona, and she lectured about Kathy Williams, and she did a lot of research about her. Kathy got into the service in the 38th U.S. Colored Troops, Company A, and these U.S. Colored Troop units, 38th, 39th, 40th, and 41st, were incorporated into the black regiments, and one of them emerged as the Buffalo Soldiers. And they got the term Buffalo Soldiers because of their tenacity. If they backed up into a corner, they were very, very dangerous, like the buffalo. And it was a term of respect given to them by the Comanche Indians, and it was received in a good order so that the two of them, they respected each other. The Comanches were very strong fighters. And so there was a term of respect that the Comanches gave to the Buffalo Soldiers, and it was received as a term of respect. Does that help any?
Sure. That's very interesting. I think it adds to what we're hearing. Michelle, did you want to comment on that?
No, she was correct. There was four units, the 9th and 10th Cavalry, the 24th and 25th Infantry. She is correct.
Okay, so thank you for that information, because it says to us more like the Native Americans and the Buffalo Soldiers were in a relationship so much maybe of war and violence, but of cooperation and respect, are you saying?
Well, yes, they also helped the settlers. They protected them as well. So they sent them here to fight. They sent them to the West to fight against the American Indians. And so when they were thrown into battle, these people, whites and Indians, had never seen these black guys before. And everyone they saw running out on a horse, they called him a Buffalo Soldier. It didn't matter what unit he belonged to. Here comes somebody, and he's a Buffalo Soldier, and we're going to run from him. So they were at Fort Huachuca for 18 years. The 10th Cavalry was. That was their home. But all the Fort Huachuca was the most segregated post in the country. So all the black regiments were down there at one time or another, including the 92nd and the 93rd Division during the World War II era. And the 92nd was named the Bouncing Buffaloes as a tribute to the Buffalo Soldiers of the 10th Cavalry, The 9th also took the title, but the 10th was the group that earned it from the Comanche Indians.
So, go ahead.
I used to lecture about the Buffalo Soldiers around the state of Arizona, and I was able to get down to Fort Huachuca and get into their records. They have wonderful records in the library about the things that were done to the soldiers by the merchandisers that were locally. They sold them, they used to pad the flyer with dirt to get more money for their products for Fort Huachuca.
It seems like, now Michelle, do you know, I'm sorry, give me your name again, sister.
I'm Gloria Smith. I was a lecturer for the Speakers Bureau for the Arizona Humanities Council.
Now, Michelle, do you know Gloria at all?
No, I don't. I don't know her. And plus, there was several other forts they were stationed at through here, and there were 3 more Buffalo soldiers that also fought here that's inducted into the Arizona Hall of Fame.
Okay.
As doing that too. So there's a lot of history here, from the north to the south of Arizona.
Okay. Okay. All over. Okay, Gloria.
That is correct.
Route 92 is named for the buffalo, the bouncing buffaloes. Route 92 in Arizona, near Fort Huachuca.
Did you know about Route 92, Michelle?
No.
She said it's named for the buffalo soldiers.
You're talking about Buffalo Trail in front of Fort Huachuca?
They had a special program down there where they instituted stamp for the Buffalo Soldiers. So it was commemorated down at Fort Huachuca. And at that time, they named Route 92 Buffalo Soldier Trail.
Yes, that's a part of Are you aware, Gloria, there was an unknown Buffalo Soldier buried in Sierra Vista back in 2014, or maybe 2009.
They have computerized the cemetery at Fort Huachuca. It's now computerized. Okay, so as you go in now, you can just check the right there at the entrance and find out who's there. But they have 2 that are buried in a dishonorable place away from everybody else because they were executed for crimes. But the post cemetery is available, and there is a group down there that will give you a tour.
Can you hear her okay, Michelle?
Yes, I can hear her.
Okay, great. Yeah, so thank you so much, Gloria, for sharing that. We're going to go to our next caller. This is really fascinating for me. Mama AZ, who I'm going to open up her mic, she's been talking about this for years. Mama AZ, your mic is open. Go ahead.
Greetings, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm getting chill bumps and I don't want to cry. I'm not going to hog it because there's so much information between Smith and Sister Michelle that needs to be out on this day. And how I came to ask you about doing this show and then reaching out is because of the dreams. And I want you family to look up Stagecoach Mary. Stagecoach Mary, Mary Fields. I didn't realize when I was going to Miracle Valley to Reverend Asa Allen's monument to do some prayers, but I saw a stagecoach. That was Stagecoach Mary. Mary Fields giving me the heads up to reach out to Michelle. And also I give thanks to my mother, Maddie C. Cunningham, who allowed me to come through her gate. She was one of 6 women who drove ammunition trucks for the military. One of 6 women, people. And I want to dedicate this to my family, the Paris family that's down there in Phoenix, especially my brother Bobby. Paris. All right, Michelle, all I can say, sister, I am so grateful to you and your husband. I told you this, baby. When I saw you at Cochise College and you did what you did, it was like icicles in a good way, and I had to get out of there because it was too cold. But I was grateful that Sister Lynn was kind enough to bring me and let me observe something that I needed to know to bring this about. So I give thanks to your husband that you two are a unit, and it helps this process that I'm going through. And I'm not going to go any further right now. I want to listen because this is very, very metaphysical, people. This is extremely, it's about the numbers. It numbers represent everything, even where Kathy Williams existed. How I found out about her was through my sister back in North Carolina. She's also a play. She writes plays. She's an actor, and she wrote a play around Williams. I think it was three, and that's how I was made aware of Williams Kathy. So I'll be quiet because we got some knowledge people here in Arizona that's long, long overdue. And one other thing, how I found out about Sister Smith was through a dream, and they told me to cut my phone on. And there was this woman interviewing Brother Freeman and some other people. And I got my friends in North Carolina to research, and they gave me the Freeman and the other numbers. And Brother Freeman was kind enough to share this Sister Smith with me, because I asked him, is there anybody in his circle in Tucson that knows about other women besides Williams Kathy? And he sent me Sister Smith, and the rest is history. So go on, Sister Michelle, with your bad self. That sister ain't no freaking joke. I love it.
Okay, so I've got a question for you, Mama AZ. I'm asking the question, first of all, what are the numbers that you're seeing around this history, around this story, and what are the lessons, the most important lessons that you see coming from Kathy Williams for us today?
Well, the woman was ahead of her time. She was not from this planet, people. I'm going to tell you now. And how I know this is because that month and a half that I rolled out there at Fort Knocko, I like to call it, is Camp Newell. Sister Lynn opened up the gate for me to be there. And I was actually there a month and a half. And the person who controls the place happened to be in Spain. And that left me free. Sister Lynn couldn't be out there with me like that, okay? It wasn't meant, because the Buffalo Soldiers had me to be there to communicate to me from the other side. And I had some of this on film, but somebody decided to steal my cameras, okay? And that's the bottom line. But what I was told is to pay attention. My dad came to me and said, Roberta, pay attention to the numbers in 95. Pay attention. And when you, Dr. V, introduced me to this Caucasian brother, Zachary Hubbard, out of Seattle, I started paying attention. I mean, really, I had been since 95, but when you introduced me to him, it was just like, wow. And then after him, Brother Harris came on the scene. Eddie Harris came on the scene and additional light to the numbers. You see, now I've been working with numbers since 95, our family. And it's no joke. It's no witchy pool stuff in it or whatever. Just like Williams Kathy, you analyze her name, just like Sister Michelle, and where she lives in Mesa, Arizona, it's a vortex, people. It's a grid line there. Okay, mm-hmm. And what happened there at that college when they were there with their troop, Michelle and her husband and the other people, I saw things that you would not believe. Even when they showed the picture about Ragsdale. Ragsdale has a mortuary. Those people are my relatives. Okay, and I'm like, what in the world does this mean? And I'm
doing
the numbers. Oh, okay, I don't want to go on, but you asked me. It's very important. That's why we are having this now. That's why I ask you to do this today, sister, you know, because of your Earth Day. It's very significant, and I'll be quiet.
Okay, I think it's significant if we can help other women understand the significance of her journey, Kathy's journey, and why we're revealing it today. So give us one lesson you think women of today can take home from this journey that Kathy is, that's being revealed about Kathy Williams. We got to have something to give to other women, other people, to help them on this very challenging journey we're all on right now. So what would you say is the major lesson from revealing all this information, metaphysical numbers about Kathy Williams?
Okay, you follow your gut. You research the numbers, where you live. Kathy may have not done that. However, she came and inspired me through others. And then when Michelle showed up on the scene, I'm like, holy moly. It's like, pay attention, Paris, pay attention.
Right.
And the numbers, you add the numbers, even the day that Michelle and her husband and everybody else was doing that. If you add that date, it will tell you what you need to know. So what I'm saying is follow your gut, ladies, sisters.
Okay, well, let me think that is important. Let me go to the next caller. And 924, your mic is open. Please give us your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, good evening, everybody. My name is Craig. And I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina. And I was asked to tune in tonight.
Hi, someone, Craig from Asheville.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'd like to greet everybody in my native tongue of Lakota. And I do that by saying, How metaki api? Le chante o ashte na pechuzapi yalo. That means greetings, my relatives. I want to greet everybody with a heartfelt handshake. And I heard mention of Isaiah Dorman, and I wanted to give a little background. I'm very unfamiliar with the Buffalo Soldier that people are speaking of, but I do happen to know a couple of things about Isaiah, which happens to be a relative of mine, Isaiah Dorman, who was from Pennsylvania. He was from back east, and he was married at Fort Snelling in Minnesota. But he also had another wife. And descendants of Isaiah Dorman can be found in Sisseton, South Dakota, on a reservation, because he was postmaster for a long time in North Dakota, and was also a very good friend of Sitting Bull's. And Isaiah Dorman died at the Battle of Greasy Grass as he rode with Custer. A lot of people know it as Custer's Last Stand, they call it. I also wanted to share that at the time, Dorman had gotten married in Fort Snelling in the 1860s. Somewhere between 1861 and 1865, not just in Minnesota from out of Fort Snelling, but also in Wisconsin, there were some 4,000 Native troops that had been mustered in from Minnesota and Fort Snelling. The muster was conducted by Captain Thomas Galbraith. Some 4,000 Native troops, Ojibwe, Oneida, Chippewa, Stockbridge, Muncie, Dakota, Winnebago, Ho-Chunk, were all sent east to end slavery with the Union Army. A lot of people don't know that, but 4,000 between 1861 and 1865 would have passed through Alabama, Georgia, and the Carolinas during William Tecumseh Sherman's Carolinas campaign, and what they called the March to the Sea, which is the Eastern Theater. And then somehow there was a switch for the Buffalo soldiers coming from out of the East Coast to the Western Theater. As I did some research and some study, maybe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, about a small tribe in Arizona who were almost driven to extinction and all their men killed, and there were nothing but women and children left. And the only one left there to take care of them and raise those children and even have more were the Buffalo soldiers.
Wow.
And there's some information online about this tribe. Each and every single member of this tribe in Arizona descends from a Buffalo soldier, a male, as far as I know.
Wow, that's deep.
Currently, not that long ago, they were putting in a bid for federal recognition. I happen to come from both. As a matter of fact, I forgot to mention, my third great grandfather was one of those Sioux scouts and soldiers from out of Fort Snelling who helped liberate the South. And as he was passing near Fairfield County, South Carolina, he sired a child with a Catawba woman and had my second great grandmother. So my second great grandmother, Rachel Davis, was born of a union of a Catawba woman and a Sioux scout from Minnesota. So I've had to dig, you know, while I'm doing my genealogy and my research, I've had to dig. I've had to read a lot about people like Isaiah Dorman, but what's being mentioned here today is new to me. And not only did I find a place where the 9th and 10th were held up at a fort in Camp Verde, Arizona, where I used to live, they were there for a long time, the fort in Camp Verde. And they were also out at White Mountain Apache Reservation. They were also there. They moved, and I believe they were with, was it General Crook or General Cook, I think? Maybe Mama AZ can correct me on that one, which general it was. But this is during a time where the Yavapai Apache people were forced to march from Camp Verde all the way to San Carlos. And a lot of them died on the way. When they got there, they were just disenfranchised with being in San Carlos, and they turn around and they marched right back. So these are some things that I just wanted to chime in on and share about. And I'm gonna fall back and keep listening.
Michelle, your comments are from that. That's fast, totally fascinating.
Oh,
these relationships.
One last thing. Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
There was a woman, Kathy J. Wilson, who attended Bemidji State, who wrote a thesis in 2004, and it was called To Be a Soldier. It's about 67 pages long, and it's a PDF file. It's Native Americans in the Civil War by Kathy J. Wilson. And in the back of that thesis are muster rolls for both Wisconsin and Minnesota. I just wanted to point that out. It is online if people are interested in looking at it. It's a very nifty source of info, too.
And Michelle, I'll let you comment next.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Michelle, you go ahead.
Are you speaking about Camp Verde? You're talking about the trail, of the Native American from Camp Verde to St. Carlos?
It was to Camp Verde, where I used to live, and then to San Carlos, and then they turned around and they came right back. Some of them stopped, I believe, where some ancestors of mine come from on another line, which is Tonto National Forest out on 260. It'll take you out towards like Payson and Strawberry. They stopped at Tonto National Forest. The true name of that band was Tontui. It wasn't Tonto. It was a band of Apaches that were called Tontui, if I'm not mistaken. And this is from an elder to me at Boynton Canyon in Sedona for a yearly ceremony that takes place on one of the coldest days in March. And I was told that by them up there, because supposedly there's a cave in Boynton Canyon. You know, everyone's got their origin stories of where they came out of. For my people, it's a cave in Minnesota called Wind Cave, or Wind Cave, South Dakota. Sorry. So everybody's got a cave or origin story where they came up from under the ground, from another world, and then they came up to the... And it's the same for the Apache. So that group, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Buffalo Soldiers may have traveled with them to San Carlos and back. I wish I could find that information again that tribe who all descend from Buffalo Soldiers. I wish I could find
Michelle,
it, but right now
go
I can't
ahead.
Think of the name of the tribe off the top of my head. But yeah, it would have been that march. It would have been that march that I was referring to. Yes.
Did they go around the rim with Tortillas Flat and Fort Thomas and Fort McDowell when they was heading towards
yes.
St. Carlos?
I believe so. There is a dam, because it's part of a walk that they do. There's a dam. I can't remember. Roosevelt Dam, yes. They pass right through by Roosevelt when they're with San Carlos. That's a part of a...
Okay.
It's a part of a memorial walk that the Yavapai and Apache do together once a year. Yeah. Because I lived there almost 5 years, so. And I saw the fort in Camp Verde as well. It's still intact and, you know, the way it was hundreds of years ago in the 1800s.
I've seen a video where they actually take that journey every year on horses. These Native Americans take the journey on horses. Michelle, your comment.
Well, we should do shows at Camp Verde, you know, doing Buffalo Soldier presentation. There's other Buffalo Soldier organization also set up camp there. Based on what he's saying, I know there's quite a few fort that the Native American came through the past.
Trail of Tears.
Fort McDowell, Fort
yeah.
Thomas, all the way to the dam.
The Trail of Tears.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. I think that's what he's speaking of, not the chair.
Yeah, okay, well...
I know nothing really about a horse. The only horse ride that I'm familiar with is one that's conducted by my people from Minnesota, from South Dakota, Crow Creek area, Fort Thompson, to Mankato, Minnesota. Every year, November 11th, it begins, and it always ends on the 26th. And this is the Dakota 38 Memorial Ride. And it has to do with everything that was taking place around Fort Snelling in 1862, around the time that Isaiah Dorman left the East Coast for Fort Snelling, Minnesota, to get married. There was the uprising of an ancestor, conducted by an ancestor of mine named Little Crow, who was a Madewa Kantawan Sioux from out of Minnesota. And that began the start of what they call the Western Theater.
We're going to go to our next caller. Thank you, Craig. I'll leave your mic open, but if you could mute your mic until you would like to speak. We're going to go to Kwame Sunhorse is on the line.
Oh, I'm probably not going to talk again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Craig. We appreciate all that. That's beautiful history about relationships. I'm so into relationship healing and understanding what they were like in the past as to how we can improve them now. So what Craig just shared to us is it just expanded it, how the Buffalo Soldiers were protecting the women and they actually had children because of that environment that they were in. The relationship was so close that they brought forth many, many children. Beautiful. It's not just about the fighting that they were involved in the war, but they developed relationships with the women and they had Craig to tell us about his ancestors who were involved in that environment and relationship. Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Viata, and good evening to your guests. And
good evening.
You know, and thanks, Brother Craig and Mama AZ. You know, you're talking about Arizona and the Buffalo Soldier, and I've heard and listened to everybody who's talking about this. Who discovered Arizona?
Michelle, do you know?
I believe it's the blacks or the Spanish.
It was a black African who was enslaved that led the Spanish because he had been here before. And he guided Hernandez and their troops into what became Arizona and New Mexico. He was the first to come here besides being an indigenous that were already here. And he could speak to the languages of the different tribes or the different nations that were here. And, you know, this is a part. And then you talk about Stagecoach Mary, and that Buffalo Soldiers were the wagons. And there was a black woman, a famous black woman named Bridget Biddy, B-I-D-D-Y. And she walked 1,700 miles with three children to California, across Arizona and into California, and became a wealthy landowner there in California. There are many great black women that did things in that time after the get back over here that was at that time was very important for our women to know. And you are asking the question, why was this, you know, being done? And I know that, again, happy solar return. But the part of it is that we're in what is now the era of the Aquarian age, and we have to begin to be mindful, which is an air sign, of the knowledge to know. And this is a part of the sacred feminine and now the divine feminine and the sacred masculine. And this energy of Aquarius and Leo, what we're doing is lifting our women and giving them the titles and the things in which they had been able to accomplish through this 2,000 years that we were first in from Pisces to Virgo. And now we're now looking at that because even with the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, it's right now, it's every alignment in 200 years, and it would have been the time of the 1860s up until now, or the 200 years that we're in and looking at these things that are being known, the Civil War, World War One, the Second World War, the 60s, all of these were, and a lot of these things in which we are looking at is that who was the one who was running the Underground Railroad? Harriet Tubman. Who were some of the great women of that time? You know, Stagecoach Mary, Bridget Biddy. There are great many stories of our women because the women are to raise up this new era and raising up the people, because it's through the mother that we learn. That's why they say when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. When you educate a man, you just give him something to think about, because it's mother wit. It's through the mother we're on. And being on her, she is the energy that gives us this first community. And what we're having to do now with this new era beginning with these young women that are coming forward, being able to see role models that were in specific positions. You know, we had Rosa Parks, we had, you know, Betty Shabazz, we had Coretta Scott King. We had these great women that are being able to show that there are all possibilities that women now have, and especially our women. Because when you look at what the genealogy of humankind is that the black woman is, through their own science, have proven with DNA and mitochondria, DNA have proven that she is the source of all humankind. Even Lupita, the sister that starred in Black Panther, had her DNA read, and she has the race gene in which she can go all the way back to the first mother of humans. This is how strong the activation of our DNA has become with this cosmic shifting. So it's very important. I thank you for this show, and Mama AZ, and I don't forget your guest name that's talking about Kathy Williams, but
Michelle.
The part of it is Michelle. And it's so many things that have been given to us through the mother, because every man has a belly button.
Thank you, Brother Kwame Thunhorst. Michelle, did you want to comment on that?
That was very informative what he was sharing. He's totally true for what he's saying. It's now, it's black women. We are the empowerment of this nation. It's time for us to take our place. Like I said before, the only thing hindering us is ourselves. And today is the day we will rise.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I want to bring in a modern-day warrior, Ayanna Van Zant. Some of you may be familiar with her. She had her show Fix My Life on OWN, and she is now doing her own thing. She sent me an email today of all days. I got an email, and I was going over this show, thinking about the lessons that we can help other women learn from Kathy Williams and apply to today to help improve their lives. So Ayanna sends out this email talking about her teaching she's doing on spiritual warrior. So I think it's important that we bring in this element of our discussion. Ayanna Van Zant talking about the path of a spiritual warrior. And if any of you in the studio would like to chime in on this as I go through these four elements of the spiritual warrior teaching, just press 1 and I will open up your mic if you'd like to chime in on this. The first thing she says is every individual journey is unique. In all cases, it requires work that starts from within. So I think this applies to Mama AZ's message about follow your intuition, follow your gut. In this spiritual, metaphysical, if you will, warrior war that we're in now, we're in a spiritual war all over this globe right now. She says, spiritual warriors embrace a journey of self-discovery in order to benefit others as they're enlightened. They understand that the work outside always starts within. So if I think we can all agree that in this day and age, we cannot be listening to voices outside of us because there's too much confusion. Our media can't be trusted. Our government can't be trusted. And many people are so confused, they're taking injections and putting them in their body and weakening their body. And if there's one thing we can learn from Kathy Williams' journey is that stress can kill you. Stress can weaken your body. Stress can cause you to get disease. And she was probably under a lot of stress. Just hiding that secret alone to me would have been stressful, because then we were thinking, how do you go to the bathroom without anybody discovering that you don't have to pull out a penis to go to the bathroom? All those things had to be stressful for her, not to mention just being in a war for 2 years. So going within, I think, today becomes even more important. And Her second point is self-awareness. Spiritual warriors change the outcomes of the common human experiences that are fought externally. Remember, Cathy Williams had an external war she had to deal with that was pretty stressful enough, and then keeping that secret. But Anyanga is saying the change, the outcomes of the common human experience that are fought externally by allowing their inner awareness and light beam out into the heart of the darkness fear creates. Whoa. Have we all been in a lot of fear over the last year? And so Ayana is advising us to become more aware of these emotions that we're feeling. I can't imagine Cathy dealing with all those emotions in battle with all those men and not being able to release or express them. So I fully understand why her life ended at 44, because she had too many stresses. As courageous as she was, as creative as she was, as strong as she was, if you don't take on this advice of Ayana to fighting the external things and not dealing with the inner awareness and the light beam out into the heart of the darkness that fear creates, that was a battle that Cathy was fighting, I think, that she couldn't win, unfortunately, because of her environment.
Sister Beata.
Go ahead.
Okay. And in our New Age naming, and what they use is Warkesa Wanko, a medicine person, but what they use now is what they call shaman. And shaman, and you know me, I'll take a word and I'll make a word from it, because shaman
right.
is only what shaman stands for is a spiritual helper, awakening minds, assisting nature. A spirit, S, spiritual, H, helper, A, awakening, M, minds, A, assisting in nature. That spells shaman. And this is what we're having now that we're having this great shift, because we have those spiritual helpers. We're not, people talk about being healers. The only person healed is the creator. We are helpers. We help through the divine that is given within us to take out and do what's needed to do, because the human body is made to repair itself. And so being the helper, Cathy has awakened our minds, because we now here, right now today, are discussing her escapades in her life and what she was able to do as a black woman in that time, to be able to dress as a man and fight for the people of that state of Arizona and the people that look like her. So this is what is stuck. This is what we have to carry in our minds, because she assisted in bringing about that land, which is nature, because Mother Earth is most important. Because this is what we have to understand is that this planet is made to be shared by all that has been brought to it. And what we're now seeing is those that are trying to attempt to control it, which by no form or fashion can man colonize nature. Colonize. It cannot be colonized. And what
and
we are
you
looking
know,
at.
Yeah. And Cathy Williams took the stand that you weren't going to control the way she made money to feed herself and to support herself. So that was one of the blessings she's giving us today, is she created her own income, her own work, her own way of doing whatever she needed to do. Her mind was very active in creating this amazing story that we're listening to today. So here's Ayanla's third commitment is releasing stories, that spiritual warriors embrace the journey inward to identify and eliminate self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors. They dismantle the story of who they are and make space for who they want to be. How many people, black people today, are still telling the story of I was a slave? Cathy so quickly got out of that slave mind, Cathy Williams got out of that slave mind, it's almost like, seems like instantly. She was like, okay, I'm going to do this now. That slavery thing is done. I'm done with that. And now I got this to do. I'm going to go create. I'm going to be a man for a while because that's where the money is. And I just see her now speaking to us about her mind that was active to do all these things more than her heart so much, because she wasn't listening to, well, I'm a woman and I really can't do that. And so she said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this anyway. And she paid the price. But she didn't tell that story about slavery that people are still telling today and wanting reparations for all that. And she just went ahead and did what she needed to do. So that's what I'm hearing mostly from her. What do you think, Michelle?
That is totally correct, because when I became aware of Kathy Williams, my life is really channeled behind her life. When I seen the strength what my mother went through, and when I found out about Kathy, I'm like, oh my God, my life pattern is identical to hers. I remember working, and I remember many men would come to me with asking, what are you thinking? And I would say, why do you want to know what I'm thinking? Because I know I have eternal spirit, that I am somebody. So when we decided to put that first African-American monument at the state capital of Arizona at Wesley Bowling Plaza in Phoenix, they was kind of iffy about Kathy Williams, because she didn't serve here. And I kindly informed them, Arizona was not a state when Kathy was serving. Kathy served in New Mexico. So, yes, Kathy will be placed there. And she do have a voice there, because by me wearing this uniform, it's definitely giving young girls and women more empowerment. We are somebody. Use your strength. Hold your head up. So, no, this is our time. And Kathy will make a grand stand here in Arizona, because like one person said, Stagecoach Mary Phil, one of my lady of the regiment, that was her great-great auntie. So she used to tell her story. So by me having ladies of the regiment that dressed back in the 1800s, and the reason why I decided to have them dress of 1800, besides just slavery, quote-unquote, we always had our Sunday best.
Yeah.
So I made sure my lady of 1800s have on their Sunday best.
Yeah.
So when we step out to an event, we stop the crowd.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to seeing us in slavery content, but not in our Sunday best. So yes, Kathy played a major factor to that.
And okay, you're gonna love this fourth commitment that Ayanna points out. Spiritual warriors are not haunted by the past, nor are they racing blindly toward the future. They are present in the moment, dealing with what is presented to them in the moment. I love that, because, again, so many people want to be victims of the past, slave situation and plantation. But in this moment, where Kathy Williams is speaking to us now through Michelle and through Gloria, I think her name was, and Gloria has her hand up. I'm going to open her mic. We can really take off from what Michelle and Gloria are sharing with us, to know that we have the courage, we have the strength, and we have the creativity right here to do whatever we need to do in this moment. We don't have to even draw from the weakness of Kathy, that she ended up with a lot of health problems, because that was the result of her courage and her strength and her endurance and all the other strong qualities she had. It weakened her body, but it still tells us today that look at what she did back then. What can we do today? I'm going to open up Gloria's mic. I think she pressed one again. Gloria, did you have a comment?
Yes, I did. I wanted to mention. Did you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to mention that the mother of Haitian independence, Victoria Mouton, was a slave and an Amazon warrior from Africa. She was a healer, and she took care of a young boy because of the request of his mother, said, look after my son. His name was Desalanes. She took care of his health. When he got older, she taught him how to be a warrior. And he taught others how to be a warrior. And that's how they managed to take over Haiti. When she died, they gave her a state funeral. She lived long enough to see him become the head of Haiti. I just discovered that this week.
So, Go ahead.
It's a new discovery because I was looking at the Amazon warriors, and I found out that some of them managed to capture slaves, and they were sent to Alabama. That last ship that came in with Pedro Lewis, he gives testimony of the fact that the Amazon warriors came in and captured them so they could become slaves. The Amazon warriors have some pluses and some minuses going in their history. But this particular one, they managed to get to Haiti. She had been captured by the French and made a slave in Haiti, and she was a healer as well.
Now, when you say Amazon warriors, are you talking about from the South America?
From Dahomey, which is called Benin today, B-E-N-I-N. And they used to go in and raid Nigeria. And that's why so many of us in America have Nigerian DNA, because they brought so many of them out through the Bight of Benin. But then the Dahomey Amazon women warriors were responsible for a lot of those slaves getting captured. That's the sad part of the history.
In Africa.
That's correct. They, from Benin, they would go over to Nigeria, grab some of those slaves and ship them out, take them over to the people who would ship them out.
Right. And those were African Amazon warriors.
Yeah, Amazon women warriors.
Yeah.
And they had thousands.
Go ahead, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. If you want
to. Go ahead.
If you want to check this a little more, you can check Zora Neale Hurston's interview with Cudjo Lewis from Africatown in Alabama. Because he was only in prison for 5 years. The Civil War came and they were free. So they got together and they put together Africatown in Alabama.
Yeah, I'm reading Zora Neale Hurston's book. I forget the name. It's The Last Slave Ship.
Right.
About the last slave trader or the slave ship that came in, a man who was in Alabama. So I'm reading that even now.
Right. Her book is called Barrakhan.
Yes, Barrakhan. Someone gave it to me as a gift about a month ago. It's fascinating, totally fascinating. It just goes to show you, though, that Africans were not captured by white men who went in there and just brought them on in. They had help from the Native Africans to sell them. And so this karma that we...
From the 1600s.
Yeah.
They had help from the 1600s up to the time when Cudjo Lewis was captured. So
there's a
list of 10 kings that were involved in slavery in Dahomey.
So it's like, how do you blame the white man for all the slavery that happened? It's a dual responsibility. You had African men, kings and queens taking part in it, and white men too. It's like there's no more need to be blaming, but to take these knowledge we have from Cathay Williams and all these beautiful natives and just deal with the present moment. Kwame, you had a comment.
Yeah, and she's correct about the Dahomey and the great warriors. But it's three things that right now today are still in captivity. Those three things that they use in that trade, when they began to trade with the African, was guns, rum, and cloth. And if you look in our community today, it is the same three things that are causing us to have what we have go on, and the criminalization and incarceration and the recaptivity of indentured and enslaved black people. We're still using those same three things. No matter who did what, they manufactured and brought this. This was not our inventions.
Well, the fact is today, if we, you know, let's not put any blame on anybody, but today there needs to be a going within to decide, are we going to continue this cycle of using the guns and rum and cloth? Because the rum is a choice of using alcohol to numb your body, your pain. That's the alcohol influence that the Native Americans got caught up in, and now they have, we got a bunch of alcoholics on the reservation. And so that's why Ayanna's commitment teaching is important for us now to start meditating, going in that Anipi ceremony and deciding, do we want to continue this cycle of guns, rum, and cloth? It's a choice now. We can't blame anybody. We know what the history is. That's why I said at the end of February, Black history does not end in February. It continues because this is the American story. Black people were just as involved as any other European countries or people. And so we've got to continue to look within and go with our gut about what do we need to do now to overcome. Hold on a minute. I got another caller. Mama Z, I'll come back to you. I got another caller here, and we only have about 10 minutes left. 773-450, your mic is open.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
Wonderful program. I just want to throw this in. First of all, why do we allow society to stigmatize us and decide where we should be? It's in society's traditional thought. There's always some form of competition. In other words, I have more education than you. I'm smarter than you. I look prettier than you. It's always some form of competition. As if once you attain something, then you're better than the next man. That whole consciousness is crooked and backwards and will never work. We have to help each other, even the one that has the greatest wealth. If it has absolutely nothing if he doesn't interact with other beings. So instead of us focusing in on perhaps what money we get, superficial things, why don't we focus on the gifts of each other, the gifts of being?
Well,
I
think you bring up the shift from third to fourth dimension. Thank you, Obadiah from Chicago. You bring up the shift that we're all involved in, this divine reset that we've been in for a whole year now, this turmoil, this confusion, this medical mafia pressure. You're talking about shifting from all of this chaos to a fourth dimension where we don't have this chaos and confusion with money being more valuable than trust and respect. So thank you very much for bringing in that thought. Because that's why Ayanna Van Zandt is on this planet today, to guide us into the fourth dimensional meditation, inner work that we need to do. And we're going to go to Mama AZ. Your mic is open. Hey, Mama AZ, did you press one? Your mic, it looked like you pressed one again. Check your mute button.
I'm here. Can you hear me, Dr. V?
Go ahead, sister.
Okay, this is off the freaking chain, metaphysical. The sister mentioned Cuja Lewis, well, Lewis. My granddaughter, Latessa, deep in, she's a Lewis. Her grandpeople hail from Hemingway, South Carolina. They're all Lewises. There is a connection, Tessa. That's why they had you to beep in, baby, to put me on hold. So you do some research. That Lewis that sister mentioned has to have a connection with the Lewises in South Carolina. This is how I get a lot of my information. This is deep. And I'll say this quick. Sister, you're going to have to do another show because I have been collecting information and people from Montana to the Yosemite, Sheldon Johnson there, who is a park ranger, Buffalo Soldier. I got a bank full of people that I have connected to the people here. Now, I guess it wasn't timing. What I'm saying is even in Texas, even in Montana, everywhere, even in Minnesota, the Buffalo Soldiers, even in California, all of these places, I got these people in my phone. And my end result that I need before I leave this freaking planet is to gather with these people. And that's Sister Soldier beeping in now. She's here in Sierra Vista, and I love that sister. Anyhow, what I'm saying is we have got to bring these people together from here to Egypt. It makes no goddamn sense for all of this knowledge. That's why I was born here in Arizona. The Lewis was born on the 33rd degree parallel line in Phoenix, Arizona. I got pregnant with my daughter, Lewis, on the 33rd degree line on Van Buren across the street from Carver School. All of this. So what I'm saying is, if nobody gets anything out of this today, to your dreams, listen to your intuition, and no matter how many people say you're a witch or you this or you that, let it roll, because this is the time we came to the planet. We are the people, we are the ones that we have been waiting for, copper-colored people.
Yes,
let's get off of it. And Michelle,
my battery,
the energy. Oh,
okay.
I apologize.
Thank you.
All right,
Obadiah had one more point, and then we're going to have to close because my battery's running low. I forgot to plug in
my pants. So this is my last point. In life, everything is something as a lesson for all of us to learn something. In a case where a woman is so powerful and strong, she can stand right aside men and do all the things that a man can do, is a testament to the strength of a woman. Secondly, in all situations, even those things around us when we normally would shy away from it, we take the time to listen, to understand and validate and energize that other individual. We can't do anything physically to help them, but when we listen, they can find some way to plan something to make changes in their own life and fix their own problem. And as we watch them change, we can watch ourselves grow because we were part of a cycle that believed in somebody, and all they had to do was have somebody to give them some faith and support them. How easy is that?
Hallelujah. Great. Yes, thank you for those words of wisdom. And I might add that women carry a baby for 9 months and then push that baby out with the partnership of the soul within her. So we are pretty dynamic species on the planet. Michelle, I'm going to give you the last word because my tablet's running low on battery. And we're going to continue this on Sunday. I am led fully by spirit now on these blog talk shows and my connection to Mama AZ and Kwame and all the people in my life who feed into me subjects that I believe are relevant for us to talk about. So Sunday, I don't know what the topic will be, but join us Sunday night, Soul Purpose Healing at 8 p.m. for a continuation of the topic, sort of, you know, whatever spirit leads. But Michelle, give us a final word for tonight.
I would just say thank you to everybody to be a part of this significant, informative meeting. I would like to thank you, Dr. V and Mother Z, for inviting me to this event. Let's keep these Black women uplifted. We could do this. Please help our cause to raise funds. First African American monument to be placed at the Arizona State Capitol at Wesley Bowling Plaza. You can find our website at buffalosoldiersazterrorymonument.com. Once again, thank you so much.
Say that website one more time.
buffalosoldiersazterrorymonument.com.
Buffalo Soldiers.
Bless you, my sister. Thank you so much for being here. I love you. We got to stay connected. Love you.
Will you survive in this new land? Buffalo Soldiers.
Everybody have a great weekend. It's going to be nice and warm and sunny in Florida. Everybody go out there, get some sun and nature. Love it, love it, love it, nature. Shalom.